It's 9:19, and coming up on Labor Day this year, it is the 50th anniversary of the Heart of America Marathon. And the Heart of America Marathon is one of the oldest continuously run marathons in the country. It's also consistently ranked among the toughest by Runner's World every year because of the hills that you encounter. Actually, you encounter a couple of good hills on the way out, and then there are a bunch on the way back. And we've been doing a sort of semi-regular, occasional series on the Heart of America Marathon and its history this year as we build up to the 50th anniversary. And one of the things that Renee and I thought would be fun to do, we've talked to Joe Duncan, who has sort of become the race's unofficial or official historian. We've also talked to Bill Clark, who was the man responsible for starting this whole bit of madness in the first place way back in 1960. But we thought it would be fun to get the gentleman who won that very first Heart of America Marathon in 1960 on the program. And indeed, we've managed to do that. Joe Schroeder is here. Joe, how are you?
I'm fine, Simon.
Hey, it's great to have you on the program. Thanks for coming on. Again, you know, I know we've probably pulled you away from your garden, but Joe was the first winner in 1960.
Okay, wait. Important question. What do you grow in your garden?
A little bit of everything. Tomatoes, squash, beans.
Excellent.
Healthy zucchini. Diet. Ugh.
Excellent. Okay, sorry. Good. I had to ask you. And you
no,
were
that's
picking,
fine.
And you were picking blueberries when Simon interrupted you by phone to ask you to do this, I believe.
That's correct.
Yeah, I apologize for that. But, Joe, talk first of all, I know that you've stayed involved in track and field because David Lyle told me, oh, I know Joe Schroeder. He, you know, I see him all the time when we're out at the track complex. And so you're still staying involved, right, in the sport or in the sport of track and field anyway?
That's correct. These days as an official at the Missouri meets and also some of the local high school meets and state high school meets.
What does an official at those meets do? I used to do high jump.
Oh, you were a high jumper. You never told me that.
Oh, yes.
Man, that is a technique-laden sport.
I don't think I got to state. I got like fourth in my regional semifinals. And
see, things you never knew about people.
But I did that because I hated to run. I couldn't breathe, which I later learned was because my sinuses were half closed. But no, I was a jumper, and I remember seeing the officials out there, but they weren't, you know, of course, jumping is either you hit the bar or you don't. But out on the track, what are you doing specifically?
Well, what I used to do was I was the head coordinator for the finish line, coordinated the people who did the picking of how they came in and also the timing. But in the last few years, we've all been replaced by automation.
Sounds familiar. Mm-hmm. Doesn't it, Renee?
Yes, it does. Radio industry is soon to be replaced by automated co-hosts.
So nowadays, at the university meets anyway, I serve as an umpire for the races, and I still am a backup to the cameras at the state high school track meets.
Because sometimes that technology will fail.
That's correct. Yeah. And there's always that possibility.
Yeah, and you've got to fall back on the human part of it. All right, Joe, let's go back in time. Bill Clark took us back in time, as only Bill can do, to 1960 when he was on the program. He basically said that this, the Heart of America Marathon got its start because it was sort of a wager between weightlifters and some of the track athletes that the weightlifters thought they could run. I think they could outrun the track guys. And Bill
was
said,
"Weightlifters or wrestling guys?
Boxers. Sorry, yeah, boxers. But they needed something. He said basically it was summer and they were bored, so they needed to throw out a challenge. So he said, "Okay, we'll put this on." And he said that you guys met, I think, where sort of Worley hit Stadium now. And he said actually the boxers didn't show up, but a weightlifter did.
That's what it was.
That's what it was. And a bunch of you guys showed up. So what were you doing? What year were you in school? And where were you in 1960?
Well, 1960, I was between my junior and senior years at the university. I was a track athlete and cross-country athlete for the university. And during the summer, my wife and I stayed in Columbia, and I worked at the university golf course in those days. And tried to stay in condition.
Did you run the golf course?
Yes, I did. In fact, that's where I did most of my training, was on the university golf course. And unlike distance runners of today, I never ran well. Once in a while, I ran the holes, all 18 holes, which amounted to about 6 miles. But usually, I'd run about 3 miles a day.
What was your specialty as a track athlete? What events were you running back in 1960?
The mile, 2 mile, and cross country were my events.
And cross country, what distance were you going there?
No, we were only going 3 miles at that time.
So when you came, so how did the word of this challenge get to you and your colleagues on the track team?
Well, it came by way of Bill Clark. And sometimes I wonder how much truth to that challenge there was from the boxers and how much Bill created that challenge in order to get this thing all started.
That thought did occur to me. I wonder if it was an idea that came to Bill and he thought, here's how I get it started.
I'll tell them.
Yes. I'll make something up here. So did you ever find out the truth? Because he wouldn't tell us on here.
No, certainly he didn't.
All right, so you find out about the challenge, and so you guys obviously took it. There was you and how many other of your track colleagues?
Well, there was just one other track colleague, and he was also a distance runner, Morris Patterson, and we always called him Red Eye. I'm not sure how he picked up that nickname, but that's
we could speculate.
Red Eye was.
Yeah, we could. And so you showed up. Is your memory like Bill's that it was roughly about where Worley would meet Stadium now? And the idea was you were going to run to Fulton, right?
Well, actually, I would say it was a little bit north of that.
Really?
Is where right near where the highway maintenance shed used to be.
I think Bill did say that, actually, yeah. Uh-huh.
And that's not just a tad north of where Worley comes in.
Yeah.
And, of course, there weren't any malls and hotels or anything else out there at that time. There was the highway shed, and then there was a pasture with some cattle on it.
Now, as I recall, and Renee, you can set me straight, Bill said the weightlift that showed up got about as far as Broadway and then bagged it somewhere on what is Broadway now. Is that how you were? Well, you were probably you were out
in front of that guy. I only know from what I was told, and I believe that's the case, that he made it through town, basically, and that was about it.
So do you have any trepidation, though? I mean, here you are, suddenly the gauntlet's been thrown, you're going to run to Fulton, and yet at the time your training didn't take you anywhere close to this kind of a distance.
No, we didn't know much about marathon training back in those days. There were very few in the United States that I think there were only three or four, and they were East Coast, West Coast, basically. Mm-hmm. So we didn't know much about marathon running in the Midwest, and I didn't try to adjust any training other than what I was doing, my summer conditioning for the fall cross country.